Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to another episode of Sour Graps, where I try not to give myself an aneurysm. I'm your host, Alex Pulaski, and everything sucks. Okay, I should preface this episode with a little disclaimer. I'm going to wish death upon a lot of people in this episode. I don't actually mean it. Please, if you're watching and you're a fan of mine, don't go out and kill anybody. It would be bad for everybody involved. Not the least of which would be the people that you killed. Also me, because I'm sure I'd be legally liable for it. But when I say, bring me the head of Brother Love, Bruce Prichard, I don't actually mean go kill Bruce Prichard. I just mean I'd like to see his severed head on a platter in front of me, because then I would know that he wouldn't be able to hurt anybody anymore, that his reign of terror had come to an end. Now, also, I'm going to wish death upon Vince McMahon, but I don't actually mean it. And hopefully, you know, Father Time will take care of that for me eventually. But, and again, it was either today or yesterday, the Twitter account of Vince McMahon, I say the Twitter account of Vince McMahon because there's no way he operates his own fucking Twitter. The Twitter account of Vince McMahon said, my mom turns 100 today. Happy birthday, mom. I hope I get your genes. I hope I have your longevity, mom. And all I thought to myself was, oh dear God, please no. Please no, God, please. Because if we have to wait 25 plus more years for this old fuck to kick off and go straight to hell with no fucking detours, because you know he is. Well, just, that would be the greatest fucking troll on me and all good wrestling fans everywhere. So no, please don't actually go kill Bruce Prichard or Vince McMahon. But if they were to die of natural causes and you have access to their severed head, bring it to me. I'd like to see it. And I'd like to yell at them, at their severed heads. If they die of natural causes and you somehow come into possession of their severed heads, bring them to me, won't you? So that I might yell at them. Last night's episode of SmackDown was horrific. It's one of the worst they've ever done. Just all around. I mean, they like to say, I'm pretty sure I've heard this, that there's something for everybody in WWE. And yes, last night, whether you like offensive, terrible, way too close to home storylines, or cringeworthy humiliation porn disguised as comedy, or just, you know, formulaic, lackluster wrestling matches that lead nowhere where it doesn't really matter who wins or loses. And let's be honest, we're probably not going to have a real finish to the match anyway. If you like any of those things, well, WWE's got something for you. If you don't like those things, then go fuck yourself, apparently. We should all go fuck ourselves if you don't like those things. So let's get into this thing. Jeff Hardy is a guest on Miz TV. Miz and Morrison. I mean, they're really good. They're really good together. They have good comedic timing, and some of their stuff isn't terrible. Like them, the whole bit where they were like, did you bring a clip? And Jeff Hardy's like, a clip? Like, you know, like he's on Conan O'Brien or something. Did you bring a clip? Yeah, here's my clip. It's a clip of this movie I did. Like, you know, it's that. I mean, it's been a long time since anybody sat on a couch next to a talk show host and threw to a clip. It's been, I don't know, at least 4 months since any of that happened. But it's an old TV trope. And them bringing that up and Jeff going, what the hell? And then Miz and Morrison going back, do you get the clip? Did you get the clip? I didn't get the clip. Do you have the clip? Do you have a clip? We have a clip. We'll play it for you. And the clip is just a thing that, you know, rehashes all of the shit between Jeff Hardy and Sheamus, but makes Jeff Hardy look out to be a total loser about everything. And then they, you know, like Miz does some shit about how his daughter, who's like fucking two, is like, Jeff Hardy's her favorite wrestler, but I don't really want her to like you because I'm afraid that you're going to disappear and have, you know, I don't know, just you're going to let her down again because you're such a junkie. And then they, I guess on behalf of Sheamus, challenge Jeff Hardy to accept a match at Extreme Rules versus Sheamus, but they say it should be on Jeff's home turf, someplace where he would have an advantage, you know, since he lost at Backlash. And that place is a bar fight, you know, where alcoholics like to go. A bar. Recovering alcoholics. God bless John Morrison for doing the best he can with the shitty material, but his delivery of, think about it. You get to face your actual enemy, Sheamus, and your metaphorical enemy, alcoholism, in the same match. And just the way he said it with this big, stupid grin on his face, like he's trying so hard to make this shit work. He really is. He tried so hard with the Braun Strowman stuff, but he's so much better than this, as evidenced by the amazing match he had with Matt Riddle last week. He's so good in the ring, and he can do more than just Miz's dumb sidekick. This isn't about that, though. This is about Jeff Hardy being like, what? You're going to have me do a bar fight with Sheamus? It's like a handicap match where I have to face, you know, like my demons and the Celtic butthole. Yeah, I guess normally they call him the Celtic warrior, but Jeff Hardy really scathed him with that Celtic butthole line. Ah, butthole. You call people buttholes. Ah, yay. We're fucking 11. What are we, 11 years old? Butthole. And yeah, so he accepts the match with Sheamus in a bar fight, and then he challenges one of the two, Miz or Morrison, to a match. They have the match. It's a stupid match. It doesn't fucking matter. Sheamus comes on the screen while Jeff is about to hit a swanton or something, and he distracts Jeff long enough for Miz to try a roll-up, and then Jeff reverses the roll-up, and he wins. But who fucking cares? The whole point of this is they decided it's a really good job. It's a really good idea to not only do this fucking storyline where Jeff's demons are being brought up over and over and over again. His alcoholism is a fucking story point. It's a whole basis for this feud between him and Sheamus. How much of a junkie he is. But now they're going to have, like, they did that with the vehicular manslaughter thing, which, by the way, cops, anytime you want to come and arrest Sheamus, that'd be great. Some top-notch, detective work you're doing here. Apparently, everybody came in with eyewitnesses, multiple eyewitnesses, and said, Sheamus was the guy who ran over Elias. By the way, Elias, are you alive? We haven't heard anything about you. Are you still at the medical facility? Get out of the medical facility. They're rife with COVID. Get out of the medical facility. Elias, if you can hear me, stand up from your bed wearing your hospital gown, which that's open in the back where you can show everybody your butt. And you take your IV thing on the little roly-dealy and walk out of the hospital. Local medical facility. Have somebody call you an Uber. Go home. It's much safer there than where you are. Has anybody checked on you? I know nobody checked on Renee Young when she had COVID. Did anybody check on you when you were ran over by a car? I don't know. We haven't heard anything fucking about Elias. What are his injuries? Is he a crushed pelvis? What's wrong with Elias? And why haven't you rested Sheamus yet? Then, last week, let's have a whole bar in the ring. Let's bring in some guy from a catering company, and let's have Jeff take out all his frustrations on this guy from the catering company, where he pours alcohol on this guy's head and it hits him in the back of the head with a fucking bottle and has a swanton on him, which is fucking assault because that man's not a wrestler. He didn't sign a waiver, I don't think. But all this is fucking stupid. Because Sheamus, I don't know if he's self-quarantining or if he's like imposed. Like, you tested positive. You're showing no symptoms. Go hang out at your townhome and we'll do some Zoom segments with you, Sheamus. Don't worry. We'll get Miz and Morrison and a guy who's cosplaying as the Miz from 10 years ago, dressed up as a bartender. We'll get those guys to fuck with Jeff on your behalf. But all this is leading to a bar fight match, wherein you just know one of the big spots that's going to happen is Jeff's going to get beat up and he's going to be laying on the ground. And Sheamus is going to go over and open a bottle of liquor, force open Jeff's mouth and pour liquor into his mouth and make him drink it. Now, what they do, I don't know if you know this, I was a stage actor for many, many years, and if they ever have you drink liquor on stage, it's not actually liquor. It's usually like iced tea that they watered down to the point that it looks like it's the same color of whiskey. It tastes awful. Like, watered down iced tea does not taste great. I mean, it's not objective. It's just like, that's not something I would choose to intake. Give me water. Sure. That's why whenever I had to drink, I requested that my character be a vodka drinker or gin, because then I got to drink water. But sometimes it's in the script, you have to be a whiskey drinker or whatever. Anyway, they're going to make Jeff Hardy, quote unquote, drink alcohol to prove that he's gotten over his demons. So what happens when he doesn't? Not, he's going to drink the alcohol because he's Jeff Hardy. He's a good soldier and he'll do whatever the fuck they ask him to. What happens when he doesn't get over his demons? What happens when he relapses again? I mean, I will say if he were to relapse again. What happens if it's really bad? What happens if, like, within the next 3 or 4 weeks after that match, his demons get the best of him? And he drink drives and something horrible happens. Will you, Vince McMahon, and you, Bruce Pritchard, feel badly about it? Will you, for even a moment, think to yourself, man, this came about because of what we made Jeff do on TV. We made him prove to us that he was no longer a junkie. And the stress was too much on him. Because his last episode that he had was like 8 months ago. And he's not quite over it yet. And now he's gone out and done something horribly tragic to himself or others. Do you think for a second that Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard are the type of people who would look inward and go, God, look what we did. we did this. This is on our watch. We did this. Or will they say, guess he really was a fucking junkie, huh? Couldn't handle his liquor. So weak. What a weak piece of shit Jeff Hardy is. Addict. Stupid fucking addict. Is that what they're going to say to themselves and out loud to each other in Vince's office? Well, it's a good thing we didn't have anything to do with this. Huh, Vince? Yeah, you're right, Bruce. Because you know what happened before the last time he had a relapse? He did the same fucking shit in the fall of 2018 with Samoa Joe talking shit about Jeff Hardy's demons and his alcoholism. He even, like, toasted a glass to him via the Titantron. Like, you're doing... again, you guys can't even be original in your horrible, disgusting, bullshit, fuck you storylines. You have to take, like, cheat off of your own paper from 2 years ago. Motherfuckers. What are you doing? This is disgusting. When, not if, when at Extreme Rules, Sheamus pours a bunch of fucking alcohol down the throat of Jeff Hardy. Remember, I told you they were going to do it. And try not to vomit. I will try not to vomit when I discuss the other horrible thing that happened later. Listen, I mean, this is going to be a short show. The next thing that happened was what? I'll talk about it later. The next thing is the interview since got Gamora and Cesaro, and I didn't fucking pay attention because I already knew what happened at the end of the episode, so it doesn't fucking matter. Doesn't fucking matter because they decided, hey, let's have a tag team title match. But, you know, have it devolve into chaos. And there won't even be an actual finish. So because I knew that they did that, everything that happened before then with interviews between them, that doesn't matter. Fuck that. Doesn't matter. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus Bayley and Sasha Banks. For some reason, I was under the impression that it was for the titles. Because if it's not for the titles, why the fuck are you doing it? If it's not for the titles, why the fuck are you doing it? This is a match. Bayley and Sasha are great. I've grown in completely tired of Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, them as a team, their shtick, all of it. I don't care. I'm done. I don't care anymore. It doesn't ring true to me at all. None of it. I'm sorry. This is a match that happens. Sasha saves a pinfall attempt on Bayley, and Bayley rolls up Nikki Cross, tries to get her feet on the ropes, but fucks that up. Because she's too far from the ropes, and so they win. They cheat. What this is supposed to do, I guess, is make us want Nikki Cross to beat Bayley more, because Bayley had to cheat to win this match, a tag match that wasn't for the tag titles. Like, if it had been for the tag titles, and Bayley cheats to win, well, that's not fair. But let's say Nikki Cross did pin Bayley and Banks didn't get there in time to save her, or Alexa Bliss got in the way and was able to impede Banks from saving Bayley, and Bayley got pinned by Nikki Cross. What would have happened? Is the answer fucking nothing? Yes! The answer is fucking nothing. If Nikki Cross pins Bayley in this match, nothing happens. Oh, does it build momentum for Nikki Cross versus Bayley in 2 weeks? No. Or was it a week from Sunday? No, it doesn't. Because momentum isn't a fucking thing. It doesn't exist. Not in a quote-unquote sport where you write the outcomes ahead of time. And also, Bayley pinning Nikki doesn't change anything either. It doesn't. It doesn't fucking matter because the titles aren't on the line. If you were going to do this ending, why weren't the titles on the line? If you're going to have Nikki pin Bayley, then fine, it's a non-title match. If you're going to have Bayley pin Nikki, then why the fuck isn't a fucking title match? Why? Why would you do that? What does it matter? What? If that entire match was just removed from existence, like it never happened, nothing would change. Nothing at all. Nothing. Nothing would change. So why is it there? Why is it there? What is it? Why is it there? Why does it exist? Why did you book it? Why did you put it on your stupid fucking show? Speaking of why did you put this on your stupid fucking show, a replay of Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt from Money in the Bank 2 months ago. You hear that? That's the sound of me fast-forwarding through that shit. Blonde, not Charlie, interviews the New Day. The New Day say stuff that doesn't fucking matter. Because the match at the end of the show doesn't matter. Because most of this fucking show is going to be about the next segment. And I can't believe I'm actually saying this out loud, the karaoke showdown. Because most of the rest of the show is going to be about that. I'll save it for last. So we'll skip it. And we'll move to the title match. Well, no, we'll move to AJ Styles being really surprised that Matt Riddle is getting a title shot next week. Insert your own feelings about the Matt Riddle situation here. Okay? I can't ever root for this guy anymore because it's just fucking slimy as shit, this whole fucking thing with Matt Riddle and the accusers. It's just fucking slimy. Just is. So I can still enjoy his work in the ring, but I'll never hope for anything good for him again. Which sucks. But so when they were like, hey, AJ, you do have a championship match next week. Who's it against? Matt Riddle? Matt Riddle? Yeah, I'm also kind of surprised that they're continuing to push him in the midst of all this. I am also surprised. Okay. There's a SmackDown tag team title match. It doesn't fucking matter. Because they had no intention of actually booking this with a real finish. Because the only reason this is here is so that we can have a tag team title match at Extreme Rules. So these are four really talented guys in the ring doing good work, and it doesn't fucking matter. Because it's all building to a non-finish. When all these men who don't like each other decide that they don't like each other so much that they have to punch each other outside of the bounds of the rules of the match. So the ref has, quote-unquote, no choice but to call for the bell. And the brawl devolves even more until Cesaro and Shinsuke get the upper hand. And they powerbomb Kofi onto Big E, who was on a table. So, good thing we advertised this title match for a full week, knowing full fucking well there was not going to be an actual finish. Yeah. You could. Here's what you, I mean. I don't know if I've this would be the right answer, but here's what you could have done. If you knew you wanted to have a tag team title match at Extreme Rules, you could have just booked that shit. Say, last week, Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro have been booked into a tag team title match versus the New Day at Extreme Rules. Uh-huh, right? And then you just do that instead of doing this and then that. Or you could have had this match and had Shinsuke and Cesaro win. Crazy! And then New Day get a rematch at Extreme Rules. Because, let's be honest, you never really got rid of the whole automatic rematch clause thing. It's still there whenever you want to use it, so use it again. And then if you really want, the New Day could get the titles back. They could become, is it 10 times? Would it be 10 times time? 10-time champs, or 9-time champs, whatever the fuck it is. Oh, would that be too bad that you took the titles off of Shinsuke and Cesaro real quick? Well, I don't know. Maybe they would cheat to win it. Maybe they'd cheat to win it tonight, last night, or whenever the fuck it was. Obviously cheat, but the ref didn't see it. So then, like, Adam Pearce, oh wait, he's got COVID. I don't know. Something. Do anything. Find somebody. Maybe William Regal steps in from his on his iPad and says, I'm sorry, lads. But obviously you cheated. So now we're going to strip you of the titles. And now they're vacant. And the whoever wins the match at Extreme Rules shall become the titles holders. I don't know. Fucking do something! Because this whole, we're going to book a tag team title match that we have no intention of actually seeing through to a finish. So that we can have a tag team title match at Extreme Rules. Now, that Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles match next week, is that also going to have no clear finish? Probably. Because I think they're going to do Baron Corbin and Matt Riddle for a while. And then, you know, Matt Riddle will get his first title reign further down the line, you know? There's going to be a DQ because of Corbin. Corbin versus Matt Riddle will happen. A feud that lasts way too long, probably till October, because all Baron Corbin feuds last way too long. Maybe around the Royal Rumble we'll get a Matt Riddle title reign. Not that I'll be rooting for that, because I won't be. But just here's the thing: if you're going to have a title match on a SmackDown or a Raw, you're allowed like one out of every 10 times for it to be booked to an obvious non-finish. If you're going to have a tag title match, an IC title match, a US title match, a title match, WWE or Universal title, and you can't possibly book a clean finish because you have to protect both people in the match, well then guess what? Don't book that fucking match. This has been my TED Talk. Don't book that fucking match. Also, here's what you don't do. You don't do a fucking karaoke showdown. Whatever the fuck that is. Now, if this was to promote on Fox the new season of Masked Singer, and you put all these women in different crazy mascot heads, and, you know, full body outfits so you can't tell who's who, and make them sing and pick a winner, fine, I understand the cross promotion, but that's not what this was. You put Lacey Evans and Dana Brooke and Tamina up there to make them deliberately look bad at what they're doing. To make them deliberately look foolish. Because, as we've discussed, Vince has said the funniest thing in the world to him is to watch somebody who's fully clothed get pushed into a swimming pool. That is what he has said is the funniest thing in the world to him. He gets off. He thinks it's funny to watch other people be humiliated. That's his shtick. He loves it. I'll bet you he just goes and just touches himself through his fucking gabardine trousers watching these poor women be put up there and humiliated. It's his porn. And I'll bet you Bruce gets off on it too. But really what he gets off on is watching Vince get off on this. That's what he gets off on. That's what I'm saying. That's my conjecture. If Lacey Evans come out and sing a snippet of I Can't Wait to Be Alone with My Baby Tonight, the old Jeff Jarrett classic, actually sung by Road Dogg. 2 years ago, I wrote a very long and in-depth lyrical analysis of I Can't Wait to Be Alone with My Baby Tonight, in which I discussed very briefly the possibility that it is about a zombie apocalypse before I realized, no, it's actually about adultery. There's no way this is an actual loving relationship. And it's the signs are all there, but Jeff Jarrett is, according to the lyrics of the song he supposedly wrote, Jeff Jarrett is really, really terrible at sex. I mean, he puts it right in the fucking song. So I tweeted out a link to that article earlier today. So you can go find my Twitter at Alex Sour Graps and carve out 20 minutes to read that little piece of entertainment. No, it's not entertaining watching Lacey Evans try to sing that song because she's bad. She's a bad singer. Not good. I mean, I shouldn't say anything because if you saw my duet with Jeremy Lambert doing Judas on Fightful Select, which if you're watching this, you have Fightful Select. And if you haven't seen that, what the fuck are you doing? Go do that. Go watch that. If you see me sing, I'm not great, but I'm better than Lacey Evans. And I'm a hell of a lot better than Dana Brooke, who sings, screeches, groans. She does a lot of that through the Honky Tonk Man song and then dances poorly to it while wearing a fucking leather cat suit. And then Tamina kind of headbangs a little bit through the beginning of Triple H's theme. Jey Uso, God bless him, is out there trying to be the host of this fucking abomination. And then Naomi is by far the best of the four and also not great. And she sings the Dusty Rhodes theme song. She gets a lot more time to sing it. She gets a whole dance routine in there. And then they choose the winner via applause, I guess. And Naomi's picked as the winner, so she gets to sing her song again. And then Lacey Evans turns heel. So that little experiment worked out well. turning her baby face because she was a Marine and a mother? Did she ever really get revenge on Bailey and Sasha for being mean to her daughter? Is she standing up to bullies now still? Or is she the bully now? Because she attacks Naomi out of the blue because she's a sore loser. So then she and Naomi have a little impromptu match while they're still wearing their karaoke togs. And then Dana Brooke and Tamina get involved, and it's a whole brouhaha. So all of this was to what? Turn Lacey heel when she's been a fucking heel this whole time? You just decided to tell us because America and motherhood, she's a babyface? But wait, is she still a former Marine? And is she still a mom? But now she's a heel? Well, how's that possible? I did think it was very topical, though, of WWE and Vince and Bruce to unintentionally do a wrestling dramatization of Lady Antebellum, changing their name to Lady A, and then finding out that a black blues singer was already called Lady A, and then suing her so that Lady Antebellum could be called Lady A now. I mean, it's basically the same thing. Antebellum, of course, being pre-Civil War. So Lady Antebellum going, oh God, pre-Civil War, that's during slavery. Ah, hey, everybody's pretty pro-black right now. That's really hip to be pro-black. You know, Black Lives Matter and stuff. I mean, they always did, but years ago it wasn't chic to be pro-Black Lives Matter, but now it is. So we're going to hop on that train before anybody gets decided to actually try and cancel us. We're going to change our name to be woke, quotation marks. We're going to change our name to Lady A. See? Because we are sensitive to the plight of our black brothers and sisters. Oh, whoops. There's a black lady who's already called Lady A. And if we had fucking, I don't know, Googled it, we could have figured that shit out, but we didn't. But we already decided we wanted to be Lady A, and I guess we'll have to sue her. It's basically the general style of Lacey Evans, right? R.I.P. Lacey Evans' babyface run. Sour Graps out there in the archives where I rip a new one into the whole Lacey Evans babyface push back in the fall. You can find it. It's all about Lacey Evans' fucking chicken that she decided to carry through a promo that she cut on Sasha Banks for no fucking reason. So the man who's in charge of WWE creative on both brands is Bruce Pritchard, the guy who played Brother Love.
I love ye.
Well, Bruce,
I hate ye. You're terrible at everything ye do on WWE TV. And if you were to die of natural causes, I hope somebody chops off your head and brings it to me on a silver platter so I can yell in your fucking face about what a horrible fucking person you are.
That you would decide, hey, I know, let's do this angle with Jeff Hardy about his alcoholism and everything. Let's bring all of that shit up. Put it on TV for him to have him struggle through. Jeff, you're okay with that, right? You're okay with that, right, Jeff? Jeff, you're okay with that, right? Jeff, say you're okay with that.
I'm okay with it, Bruce.
Great. See, he said it's fine. So we're going to do that. Also, hey, we're not using these four women right now. let's have him do this humiliation porn because Vince really gets off on it. And I pleasure myself to the sight of Vince's smile. So that's great, right? We'll do that. Oh, and also, apparently, a report comes out that the guy who put the kibosh on Mustafa Ali, Bruce Pritchard, never really saw what everybody saw. I don't get it. I don't get what everybody sees in Mustafa Ali. I don't understand why anybody could possibly identify with this guy. You know, he's Muslim, right? How could anybody? I mean, I'm conjecturing, but it's weird, according to this report, that he basically said, no, we're not doing any more of these stupid fucking hacker thing. No, we're not doing that anymore. And then Mustafa Ali said, apparently, according to this report, I want to go to Raw. Because this is months ago. Can I please go over to Raw and maybe we'll like bring the Raw the SmackDown hacker over to Raw? And everything that Paul Heyman pitched for Mustafa Ali as the hacker to Vince, Vince was like, no, 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 no. So also, fuck you, Vince, too. But then they fired Paul Heyman. Or reassigned him. And now Bruce is in charge of Raw, too. So it doesn't matter where Mustafa Ali is. They're going to steal a whole fucking year of his prime from him. I never put him on TV because Bruce Pritchard doesn't get. I don't get what everybody sees in that guy. Jeez. What a great talker and an amazing athlete. And he connects with fans. And he could bring a whole new set of eyes from a different part of the world onto our product. And they would love it and be attracted to this guy. Former cop? No. Jeez. Son of an immigrant? No, God. It's not possible. Nope. No way. Mm-mm. Can't do it. I mean, everything that is wrong with WWE is because of Vince McMahon. Let's not get it twisted. Everything that's wrong with WWE is because of Vince McMahon. The buck stops with him. Everything happens with him. A bad story idea doesn't make it on TV without his approval. But you could hire people who would come up with good story ideas and not bad story ideas and put those in front of him. I mean, maybe he'd reject all of them, but maybe you don't have somebody who says, I know what Vince likes. Vince likes humiliation porn. Because also, like, I don't know if Vince knows this, but having Jeff Hardy have to confront his demons, which he seems really regretful about, because there aren't a lot of recovering alcoholics who are like, man, golly, I really wish I could go back and have a drink at the bar because I really liked who I was when I was a blackout drunk and I was disappointing and hurting everybody I loved. Most people are really ashamed of that time and they're trying to get better. So making him relive all that shit on TV for everybody to see it is a different kind of humiliation porn. It's a lot more insidious and evil than, you know, making Dana Brooke wear a fucking leather cat suit and dance for your pleasure while looking like a fucking fool. But both things are humiliation porn. Bruce Pritchard knows that Vince's fetish is watching other people be humiliated. He loves it. So what does he do? He puts in front of him all this stuff that he knows he'll love. Says, hey, Vince, let's do this. And this is like, oh, goddamn, Bill, that's such great shit. And Bruce is like, yeah, I know. You love me, don't you, Vince? I love you, Bruce. Oh, it's so fun. It's so great. I don't know why Bruce Pritchard I don't know why, Bruce. I don't know why you need the approval of a sadist like Vince McMahon so much. I don't understand. But it seems like you've got something wrong with you, too. I mean, it just seems like it to me. And, I mean, if he's in charge of both fucking shows, you could push for something better going on Raw, too, instead of this fucking Dolph Ziggler shit. But no, no. We got a huge Charlotte and Becky-sized hole in the women's division over on Raw. What do we fill it with? We fill it with Asuka and I guess we'll bring Sasha over some SmackDown. Who else do we have on Raw? Meanwhile, Bianca Belair and Shayna Baszler are like, hey, we're over here. Don't forget about us. And Bruce is like, no, not you. Not you, ladies. Maybe if Bruce decides he wants to have Shayna Baszler sing some fucking karaoke and get everybody to laugh at how bad she is at it, maybe then she can get on TV. Maybe then Bianca could get on TV. Maybe then. I hate this fucking company. I wish I didn't. I want it to be good. I want so badly for people who are good at what they do. And that includes nearly everybody on both rosters. I want them to be given something good to do. Even if you were to do the thing that I've always advocated for, a rolling off season. This person gets 2 months off. They were having a really important feud, but they lost it. And now they get 2 months off to go off and heal up their body, get some surgery done to clean out some bone spurs in their elbow or whatever. Go have a vacation with your kids. I mean, all this obviously is different in the land of the fucking plague, but you know what I mean. And then you can cycle in somebody for a couple of months and let them have a spotlight. Or maybe you could build some new fucking talent instead of calling them up from SmackDown and sticking them on Main Event. Or kneecapping a storyline that they're in and keeping them off TV for what is now 7 months. We missed you, Mustafa. I don't know when your contract's up, but let that shit expire and go somewhere else. Somewhere else where they appreciate you, where they might appreciate talent. God damn it. That was SmackDown. I have been Alex Pulowski. This has been Sour Graps. And Jesus, man, I wish it didn't, but oh boy, does everything suck.